Girl Scouts have been making new friends and keeping the old for 100 years. Today, we'll take a look back at a century of scouting. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Girl Scouts of the United States of America was founded by Juliet Gordon Lowe in 1912 in Savannah, Georgia. But she got an important helping hand from a native Iowan, First Lady Lou Henry Hoover. We'll talk about her role. I'll also talk with Kristen Hunter of Girl Scouts of Greater Iowa and Diane Nelson of Girl Scouts of Eastern Iowa and Western Illinois about scouting in the state. And we want to hear from you. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Girl Scouts of the United States of America was founded by Juliet Gordon Lowe in 1912 in Savannah, Georgia. The organization turns 100 this year, and Girl Scouts everywhere are celebrating. Today, I'll talk with a number of people about Girl Scouts. I'll talk with representatives from the two Girl Scout councils represented here in Iowa. Kristen Hunter is Vice President for Marketing and Girl Scouts of Greater Iowa, and Diane Nelson is CEO of Girl Scouts of Eastern Iowa and Western Illinois. They'll join the conversation in a little while. But first, we're going to go back in time with Lynn Smith of the Herbert Hoover Presidential Library and Museum. Hello, Lynn.
Good morning.
And I mentioned Juliet Gordon Lowe. There was also an important Iowan who was very involved in the early years of Girl Scouts in the United States. First Lady Lou Henry Hoover. So let's start at the beginning in 1912 with Juliet Gordon Lowe. This was an idea. Girl Scouts was an idea that she got from Europe, from England, right?
Right, right. She had gotten married to a William McKay, a wealthy Englishman, and they spent a lot of time in England. And in 1911, she met Robert Baden Powell, a leader in the youth movement and founder of the Boy Scouts in 1907. And the Girl Guides were founded in 1909 that were a spinoff because the girls wanted to get involved with what the boys were doing. And Robert didn't like that. So he's like, well, you can't be with the boys, but you can make your own group. And so he had his sister set that up. So the Girl Guides, and right in that point, Juliet Lowe was meeting Powell and the sister and discovering the Girl Scouts or the Girl Guides in England. And that just really inspired her. So when she came back to the States in early March of 1912, she called her cousin and said that I've got something great for all the girls of Savannah, all of America, and we're going to start it right here.
She was really on fire with
this
idea.
Yeah, she was.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about when Lou Henry Hoover got involved. And Lou Henry Hoover, she grew up in Waterloo, Iowa, right. And she was sort of a Girl Scout in spirit even before there were Girl Scouts,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right. She'd made numerous statements in speeches to Girl Scouts that she was a scout before there was scouting. In Waterloo, she was very active in the outdoors. Her father would take her and her younger sister Jean camping, hiking, backpacking, a little bit of hunting, I suspect. And when they moved to California, there was, you know, plenty of the more wilderness and outdoors and mountains that Iowa just doesn't have. So she just embraced that and, you know, in essence ran with it. She hooked up with Mrs. Lowe in 1917. Juliet wrote her a letter and asking her to get involved. And Lou was very particular about what she got involved with. She didn't really support it, didn't believe it. She didn't want to just lend her name to something.
And, of course, this was before she was at the White House. So
right.
This was something that predated Herbert Hoover's presidency.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But get involved she did, and in a big way.
Yes. It wasn't too long that she was involved as a national representative in the Washington, D.C. area at that point. Mr. Hoover was Secretary of Commerce, and so it was a logical extension to stay active in that area. She would go back to her home in California in the early 20s, set up troops and camping and things for girls and activities in California, went back to Washington, and by 1921 was elected vice president of the national organization.
And she was actually a troop leader herself,
right? She was a troop leader, Troop 8, and that was in Washington in her home on S Street. until she was into the White House, and she continued the troop as First Lady. And they would, you know, in before First Lady, she was, you know, they'd let the troops dig up the backyard and do gardening. Not quite so much in the White House, but they would still, she would call on them to be active participants in activities and things. When dignitaries would come, they would strut their stuff, as it were.
Well, and the Hoovers had a retreat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
Camp Rapidan.
Right, and she would take the Girl Scouts there as well.
Right. And she'd also occasionally, as the Depression worsened in the early 30s, she would meet national leaders there to kind of strategize what can the girls do in their local areas to promote well-being and share what you have with others and things like that.
Well, and she, as we talked about earlier, she was a Girl Scout in spirit before there were Girl Scouts. But in the speeches that she gave as president of Girl Scouts of America, what did she say about its importance? Why did she believe it was so important?
It was a mixture. One of her phrases is, it's for the girls. That was a carry-on from Mrs. Lowe, that, you know, this is for the girls to make a better rounded person. To, you know, they'll learn domestic skills at home, and they also, the Girl Scouts had homes that were built and designed for them to learn how to cook and clean and do the domestic chores, and also do the do the outdoor things, do the gardening, do camping, and, you know, become a more rounded individual. And there was a lot of the troop design, opening flag ceremonies and stuff. So there was an element of patriotism and unity of country, you know, for the part of the Girl Scout laws to, you know, live for, you know, God and country.
Well, and the we also can credit her with, I guess, most people's favorite part of Girl Scouts, and that is she invented the cookie sales.
Right. She saw that as a very good revenue stream for the Girl Scouts as an ongoing activity. And the roots of the Girl Scout cookies go back to the early 20s. With a cookie recipe that was published in the Girl Scout magazine, American Girl. And it was originally the Girl Scouts would, you know, bake them at home and box or bundle them up and then sell them locally. And then as that movement grew, it became obvious that they can't bake enough cookies in their house to feed, you know, lots of people that are hungry and clamoring for cookies. So they contracted with some local bakeries and were doing it more commercially.
Was she involved in Girl Scouts after the White House as well?
Yeah, she remained as a vice president from the about 33 to 1944 when she died. She wasn't a troop leader anymore, but she was elected a second term of president in 1934 or 35 and served for a couple of years. So she, you know, left the spotlight of the White House, but definitely kept her hand in the cookie jar, as it were.
Well, we are talking about the history of Girl Scouts of the United States of America. It was founded in 1912 and celebrates its centennial this year. I've been talking with Lynn Smith of the Herbert Hoover Presidential Library and Museum, and I want to bring Kristen Hunter into the conversation now. She is Vice President for Marketing with Girl Scouts of Greater Iowa. Hello, Kristen.
Hi there. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
And maybe you can fill us in a little bit on when Girl Scouts came to Iowa, because, we, you know, Lou Henry Hoover was involved in Girl Scouts in Washington, D.C. and in California. How did it get started in Iowa?
Well, it started in Iowa in 1919, actually. So, you know, as an organization, yes, we are absolutely celebrating our 100-year anniversary, and we have declared this year of the girl. So we are thrilled as an organization to really be rallying around our girls and have 100 years behind us of building girls of courage, confidence, and character who make our world a better place.
I want to ask you, because you are with Girl Scouts of Greater Iowa. In a little while, we're going to bring Diane Nelson on Girl Scouts of Eastern Iowa and Western Illinois. There are two different councils that are active in Iowa. Can you explain for us how this works?
Sure, absolutely. So we serve girls in central through western Iowa. So we have 67 counties here in Iowa in our jurisdiction. And Diane Nelson, they lead the other half, the eastern half of the state.
Why is it divided?
Well, we want to make sure that we have very high capacity councils that have the right staff in place to serve the number of girls in our organization. So we don't want to spread ourselves too thin and have girls not have that leadership experience that they so look forward to in our program.
And how many girls are involved in your council?
So we have 15,000 girls and 4,000 adults.
All right. And we'll talk with Diane about how many girls are involved in her council as well. And let's talk a little bit about how this works. When can girls start getting involved? Because I think a lot of us grew up knowing Girl Scouts, or maybe a lot of us were Girl Scouts, and we knew about brownies and we knew about Girl Scouts. But beyond that, there weren't quite as many options, at least when we were kids, or there didn't seem to be. When does scouting start now, if you wanted to?
Well, it starts grades actually K through 12. And you're right. You know, there were some differences in the program then and now. And we really have grown up with our girls. So, you know, from the 18 girls that Juliet Gordon-Lowe had in her first meeting to the 3.4 million people that we have as members today, you know, we are having our girls really focused on STEM, the science, technology, engineering, and math aspect of programming. And they're working on robotics and computers. They're going to our regular camps and they're going to space camps. So, you know, we are just proud to say that we have really grown up with our girls and providing an experience that they can customize. You know, no longer is it that you have to be in a troop to be involved in Girl Scouting. You can travel Europe and that's how you're a Girl Scout today. So it really is your opportunity to customize your experience so that you can become a leader in your own life.
Well, and you mentioned it can start in kindergarten, and those are the daisies, right?
Correct.
And it goes from daisies. Tell me the progression.
Daisies, brownies, juniors, seniors, cadets, and ambassadors.
All right. And I didn't hear you say Girl Scouts there. They're all Girl Scouts.
They're all Girl Scouts. Yes, that's kind of how we've divided up the age groups, because we want to provide relevant programming for each age group. So that's all how we divide up our Girl Scouting programming.
All right. I'm talking with Kristen Hunter. She is Vice President for Marketing with Girl Scouts of Greater Iowa. Also with me today is Diane Nelson will be joining us in just a minute. Lynn Smith is here from the Herbert Hoover Presidential Library and Museum. We're also going to hear from some troop leaders and from some girls in a few minutes. And we want to hear from you. We want to hear about your Girl Scout memories. As Girl Scouts of America turns 100, tell us about why it was an important part of your youth. Give us a call at 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa.
Make new friends by keeping old. One is silver and the other's gold. A circle's round, it has a web. That's how long I want to be your friend. A rainbow goes from here to there. That's how Girl Scouts tend to care and share.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and today we're talking about Girl Scouts of the United States of America. The Girl Scouts was founded in 1912. The organization is celebrating its centennial this year in many ways, and we'll continue talking about Girl Scouts in Iowa today. We'll continue talking about the history of the organization, and we want to hear from you. Share your memories. Share why being a Girl Scout was important to you. Maybe it's still important to you. A big part of your life. Let us know. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Right now, I want to talk with a troop leader and a brownie. Jessica McChesney of Burlington was a Girl Scout in her youth. She's now a brownie troop leader. Her daughter, Zion, is in that troop. Jessica, what was it about being a Girl Scout that made you want to share this experience with your daughter?
I was in Girl Scouts until my second year of juniors. So that would have been about 6 years.
What was it about being a Girl Scout that made you want to share this experience with your daughter?
Probably my favorite thing was spending time with my mom. She was also one of my leaders. And I just really wanted to do that same thing with my daughter because it was so important to me to share all those memories with her.
There are lots and lots of opportunities for young people to get involved in organizations today. Did you consider anything other than Girl Scouts?
Yes, I did consider quite a few different options, but Girl Scouts was always so special to me that I decided to stick with Girl Scouts, and it's been a good experience so far, so we've stayed with it.
Since you were involved in Girl Scouts for so long, when you were growing up, for 6 years, did it become kind of part of your identity?
Yes, definitely. We were just always doing things together as a troop, and all of our families in our troop were doing things together, and so it was just part of my life and what we did.
And of course, Girl Scouts is marking its centennial, 100 years this year. What is your troop doing to mark the 100th anniversary of Girl Scouts?
Oh, goodness, we're doing so many things. Right now, one of the biggest things that I'm excited about is our whole service unit is actually putting together an event that we're going to do at our local ballpark, and we're going to invite all the past Girl Scouts that have been in Girl Scouts, whether you were in it 100 years ago or just started this year, and we're going to invite them all to come to a big birthday bash, and I think that will be a lot of fun. We've also done a lot of things like that in our troop and talked about the things that they used to do and had a lot of troop meetings about what they used to do.
And you and Cyan are both included in a book, a special centennial book?
Yes, we are, actually.
Tell me about that.
Well, that was kind of a neat experience. It was one of the neat things they did for the 100th anniversary. And it really, we weren't really planning on doing it. And then it's amazing how everybody's story really is more than you think it is. And so some of the people said, well, I really think you need to put you guys in there. And I talked about my experience from being a girl and how important it's been in Cyan's life. She's really had a lot of neat experiences that I don't think she would have had without Girl Scouts. And she also has got a lot of courage and confidence and character, which are the three things that they really talk about in Girl Scouts, and I've seen her blossom so much through Girl Scouts, and that's kind of what our story was about.
Oh, wonderful. Well, maybe you could put Cyan on the phone.
Definitely.
Hello.
Hi, Cyan. Thanks for talking
Hi.
With me today.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
And you're in third grade now?
Yes.
How long have you been doing Girl Scouts or Brownies?
4 years.
4 years. You started early.
Yes.
What is your favorite thing about being a brownie?
I like being with my family, my friends, going on trips, selling Girl Scout cookies, and doing all of our arts and crafts.
Oh, neat. Can you tell me about a trip that you took that you particularly liked?
When we went to the Malk Train Caves.
Oh, so you went down to Missouri.
Yes.
And what did you do when you were there?
We looked at caves, and we went to his old house, and we went to a very neat shop there, and we went on a riverboat.
Oh, wow.
And I got to watch the captain steer it, and then they let me steer it.
Wow. You got to steer a riverboat on the Mississippi.
Yep.
Oh, that's so cool. Cyan, when you're at your brownie meetings, do you talk about the Girl Scout promise?
Yes.
Can you tell me what it is?
On my honor, I would try to serve God and my country, to help people at all times, and to live by the Girl Scout law.
All right. And I'll do the Girl Scout law. I don't want to put you on the spot too much. And the Girl Scout law is, I will do my best to be honest and fair, friendly and helpful, considerate and caring, courageous and strong, and responsible for what I say and do, and to respect myself and others, respect authority, use resources wisely, make the world a better place, and be a sister to every Girl Scout. Cyan, do you think about those words a lot?
Yes.
And what do they mean to you?
They're special to me, and I know that you need to do those because then the earth will be a better place.
And when you're at school and something bad happens or you're having a rough day, do you ever think about those words and being a Girl Scout when you decide what to do?
Yes.
Does it help you make decisions?
Yes.
Can you think of a time when you've had to make a decision and that's helped you out?
Being nice to my friends when they're mean to me.
What does it mean to you that Girl Scouts is 100 years old this year?
I think that's awesome that Girl Scouts have went on that long.
Do you someday hope that you can do this with your daughter, too?
Yes.
Well, that's great. Zion, thank you so much for talking to me today.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me again.
Oh, thanks a lot, and good luck with your cookie sales.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Zion McChesney. I also talked to her mother, Jessica McChesney, there of Burlington. Jessica is a troop leader. Zion is a brownie. And they're featured in the book Courage, Confidence, and Character, 100 Years of Leadership 2012. And that's a publication from the Girl Scouts of Eastern Iowa and Western Illinois. So now is a perfect time to introduce Diane Nelson, who is CEO of Girl Scouts of Eastern Iowa and Western Illinois. Hello, Diane.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for inviting us. We're very excited.
And we still have with us Kristen Hunter, who is Vice President for Marketing for Girl Scouts of Greater Iowa. That's the western and central part of the state. And also with us from the Herbert Hoover Presidential Library and Museum is Lynn Smith. And Diane, earlier I talked to Kristen a little bit about how the councils are divided in Iowa. How big is your council, the Girl Scouts of Eastern Iowa and Western Illinois?
Well, we have 30 counties in Iowa on the east side of Iowa, and we have 7 counties in Illinois. So we're a relatively big Girl Scout council. We go up through Waterloo, Dubuque, Burlington, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, the Quad Cities, and then we also cover 7 counties in the Illinois side.
And how many girls are involved in your council?
We have 19,000 girls in Girl Scouts.
All right, so 19,000 in yours, 15,000 in the Girl Scouts of Greater Iowa. That's a lot of Girl Scouts.
That is a lot of Girl Scouts. Never enough, though.
Were you a Girl Scout, Diane?
I was. I was a Girl Scout. I was a Brownie, and now I'm a girl. I help with my daughter's Girl Scout troop, and I've been with the Girl Scout Council for 10 years. So Girl Scouts has been a huge part of my life.
And what was it about your experiences as a Girl Scout growing up that made you want to be involved as an adult?
You know, I could pretty much repeat what Zion was saying earlier. My neighbor lady and I grew up in a very small community, a very rural community. There wasn't a lot of activities. My neighbor lady was my Girl Scout leader. My mom was active and helpful. It was something that was fun to do. We had a great opportunity to come together as girls. And again, we had an opportunity to go on trips and have fun with our friends and learn to be good to one another. And you know, you think back about it, and at the time you don't know it, but now when I think back about it, it gave us a lot of opportunity to build some leadership skills, to lead a meeting, to talk in front of a group, to present an idea. A lot of those things we do today as adults that we learned in Girl Scouts when I was growing up.
And Kristen, were you a Girl Scout too?
You know, I actually wasn't, so I bring kind of a different, fresh set of eyes to the organization because, you know, there are some stereotypes about it. So while we are one of the most well-known, well-loved brands in America, there is some limited views about what it means to be a Girl Scout in 2012. So I myself didn't know all of the great things that girls were doing in the fields of science, technology, engineering, and math. So I was thrilled to come aboard and become an advocate on behalf of this organization and kind of shout from the rooftops about all the wonderful things that girls are doing to make this world a better place.
Well, and can you give me an example of some of the stereotypes that you've tried to dispel?
Well, there are the cookies and crafts stereotype. And, you know, while we are very proud of our cookie program, it is the most successful financial literacy program that we have. We do so many other things to help girls discover their values and the skills around them and connect with others on a local and a national level and really take action and become leaders in their own lives. So while the cookies and crafts are there, they're a piece of our overall puzzle that makes us that premier leadership organization.
We've heard that word leadership quite a lot. And Lynn Smith, you brought with you today a list of some of the notable women who have been Girl Scouts mm-hmm. through the years. Can you tell me about some some of the people who've been involved?
Yeah, well, most notably in the political specter, we've got Hillary Clinton and Sandra Day O'Connor, the first lady Supreme Court justice appointed by Ronald Reagan. In the TV field, particularly news, Barbara Walters and Katie Couric, who are very well-known news journalists. And within the sphere of arts and entertainment, Linda Carter, who was Wonder Woman, Lucille Ball, everybody knows Lucille Ball, Mary Tyler Moore, and an actress turned ambassador, Shirley Temple Black. Gloria Steinem was a leader in a more political sense in the women's movement in the 60s and 70s, and other entertainers like Sheryl Crow. A lot of these names might not mean a whole lot to the younger kids of today. So I'll give you Mariah Carey, America Ferrera, Reese Witherspoon, Abigail Breslin, Dakota Fanning, and race car driver Danica Patrick.
So many, many women have come through Girl Scouts, including you,
yes.
Lynn.
And, mm-hmm.
and you were in for many years.
Right. I ran from brownies through seniors and was very active. We did a lot of camping. I come from Colorado, so our camping experiences included mountains and, you know, actual that sort of hiking and landslides. I mean, not landslides, but, you know, we'd cut trails and make markings to set up so the next group would, you know, in the subtroops would follow us, and lots of fun.
Diane, when you talked about how there are so many opportunities for girls today in scouting, what are some of the examples that you can give me of opportunities that girls have now as they grow in scouting?
Well, the one thing that's really exciting about Girl Scouts is we are really changing to meet the needs of today's girls. We'll never lose our core value and our tradition, but we are really reaching out to meet the needs of today's girls. And today, girls want to be they want to have their voices heard. They want to be an advocate. So we are creating opportunities where girls can have their voices heard. We're partnering with the Capitol to do a Capitol Day in Des Moines. They have an opportunity to go on trips. They are going to go to Savannah. We just had a group of girls that just came back from Paris and Rome. They have trips all over New York, New York, Washington D.C. Not to mention the programs that were mentioned earlier, is that we have a great opportunity for girls to learn more about science and technology, engineering and math. We have phenomenal partnerships with our hospitals throughout Iowa, and we have great health programs for girls to teach them what is normal, what should they really think about when it comes to health, not only physically but mentally. What does it mean to be healthy inside and out? And one of the big issues facing to girls today are the bullying. As you heard Diane mention earlier, teaching girls to be confident, stand up for what they believe in, be a good friend to other girls. We have programs all across Iowa that support girls so they can be the best they can be. And you did hear the word leadership a lot, and it's because that's who we are. You know, we're creating leaders for tomorrow, and we're very, very proud of that.
As I talked to Jessica earlier, the Brownie Troop leader from Burlington, we talked about the fact that there are so many groups now, so many opportunities. And when I was a kid, you know, it was Girl Scouts and Campfire, basically, were your choices. I was a Campfire girl. Kristen, why Girl Scouts? With so many opportunities out there, why do you think Girl Scouts is a great opportunity for kids?
Well, because it works. I mean, essentially, at any given time, 10% of American girls are Girl Scouts, but 80% of American female business owners and senior account executives are former Girl Scouts. And 70% of women in the House and Senate were former Girl Scouts. So, and if you could believe it, virtually every female astronaut who has flown in space was a former Girl Scout. So these great leaders we're seeing today and the great list that we heard earlier, they have that foundation of leadership from Girl Scouting. And that's what we want to continue to provide for our girls in our next 100 years and beyond.
Is it the depth and breadth of the organization that can give you some advantages over perhaps other groups?
Absolutely. I mean, having 100 years under our belt does not hurt at all. Having that proven track record of being able to give you those phenomenal statistics I just read off, that's definitely powerful to hear.
We would love to hear from you. If you were a Girl Scout, let us know about your experiences. What made that powerful for you? What made it important to you to be a Girl Scout? Or maybe you didn't have a good experience. We'd love to hear your story, too. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. I'm talking right now with Diane Nelson. She is CEO of Girl Scouts of Eastern Iowa and Western Illinois. Kristen Hunter is Vice President for Marketing, Girl Scouts of Greater Iowa. And also with us is Lynn Smith of the Herbert Hoover Presidential Library and Museum. They have an exhibition about 100 years of Girl Scouts on display through March 25th. We will continue in a moment, but now we're going to hear just a little bit of a song called Here's Where We Belong, created and sung by Susan Beckett and Kate Goddard with production and guitar by Lori Haig. This is the winner of the Girl Scouts of Eastern Iowa and Western Illinois 100th Anniversary Song Competition.
The world 100 years ago looked different than today. Without the choices we have now, with no vote or say, but Juliet had a vision for girls the world wide, and from her gentle guidance we now stand side by side.
This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Where we laugh, where we sing our song, our heart.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and we are talking about the centennial of Girl Scouts of America today. We're going to continue our conversation in a moment, but first we want to hear from another troop leader and some more girls who are involved in the organization. Carrie Hansen is a Girl Scout troop leader and a Brownie troop leader. She's also the service unit manager for Waukee, Iowa. She was a Girl Scout herself. I'll talk with two of her cadets in just a moment, her daughter Emma Hansen and Leah Doyle. Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
How long were you a Girl Scout when you were growing up?
From second grade through seventh grade.
And what brought you back to scouting?
Well, when my daughter entered kindergarten, she wanted to join the DAISY program, and they needed leaders to make that happen, so I decided to sign up.
Was it kind of a no-brainer for you that you wanted your daughter to be a Girl Scout?
Yeah, it was something I really enjoyed and I had good memories of. Growing up, and I wanted her to be able to do that as well. My mom had been a Girl Scout. My grandmother had been a Girl Scout. And it's just kind of one of those things. Wanted to carry on the tradition.
Other than having fun being a Girl Scout when you were growing up, were there other things about the experience that you really wanted to make sure your daughter got to have as well?
Well, there's a lot of close friendships you gain, and it's an opportunity to help others in your community that you might not get in another way. You know, you can meet kids at school and hang out with kids at school, but getting to out into your community and doing something with a purpose is one of those things that you can get through Girl Scouts that there's not a lot of other resources for girls out there for that.
Now, of course, a lot of moms get involved as troop leaders when their daughters get involved in DAISYs or Brownies. You are the co-leader of two different groups and the service unit manager, so you're dedicating a lot of time to Girl Scouts these days. How much time do you suppose you put in?
Well, it varies. It depends if we have events going on or if it's just standard monthly meetings. Anywhere between 10 hours a week to 20, 30 hours a week when we get towards a big event.
That's a big commitment. Why do you think it's worth it to you?
Well, there's 300 girls in the Waukee Girl Scout program, and giving them a chance to come together maybe on a large-scale event is really worth it, because you run them into them in the grocery store and they get all excited because they ask when you're going to have it again and when you're going to do it again, and it kind of makes you feel good that you're giving them that opportunity.
I want to take you back to when you were a Girl Scout. Is there one favorite memory that really stands out for you?
Well, we always did a bazaar where we made crafts and sold them, and then we gave the money to like a local charity that we chose every year. And I just remember sitting around tables in different people's kitchens making all these little different crafts that we would get ready to sell. It was just always something we all looked forward to every year, coming up with these little ideas for things to sell and then to see how much money we could pull together.
Well, this, of course, is the centennial year for Girl Scouts, and you're doing a lot of different special things for this year. But one of them is a challenge that you've gotten involved in. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. I wanted to give something for the Waukee girls to help them on a daily basis really think about that this is the 100th anniversary of Girl Scouts, that it's bigger than they are. And so we decided that we would come up with this list of 100 different ideas just to spark some interest of things all around the number 100. So we gave all the troop leaders in Waukee this long list of all different activities, all from silly things like 100 jumping jacks all the way up to things like 100 service hours. And we just wanted to challenge all the girls to see if we can get 100 of these projects done between the start of the school year and the Girl Scout anniversary of March 12th.
And how far along are you?
We have just about 60 completed. I'm sure there's some more that have been done in the month of January that we collect them at the end of every month. But we only need every troop to do two more, and we'll make our goal of by March 12th for 100 projects.
Well, I want to bring Emma Hansen, your daughter, and Leah Doyle into this conversation. Hello, girls.
Hi.
And you're both 12 years old, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you guys are part of the cadet troop. What does that mean, cadet? Emma?
It's just a higher, where you get into more service projects, and it's not, when you're little, it's kind of like a lot of crafts and stuff. But when you get older, it's like bronze awards and all that stuff.
All right. Well, and I was talking to your mom about the fact that she was in Girl Scouts until she was in seventh grade. And here you are at the same age at which she quit, but you've clearly decided you want to keep going with this. Why is Girl Scouts so important to you?
Because it's just a cool way to meet friends and get to know your community and stuff.
Leah, what does it mean to you to be a Girl Scout?
It makes me feel good when you help out other people around your community, and to also make new friends and get to hang out with friends during meetings.
And you guys have been involved in this centennial challenge. Emma, what's one of your favorite challenges that you've helped to complete?
We put together 5 birthday bags for the Waukee Food Pantry, and we just like picked out some themes to do, and we got a bunch of like napkins, plates, balloons, and party stuff and put them in a bag for people to get and use for their parties that maybe they didn't get to have.
Well, that sounds like a fun project and probably made some people very, very happy. Leah, what's one of your favorites?
I like the 100 compliments for a friend, because I knew that if I got any of those compliments, it'd make my day.
Who did you pick to give your compliments to?
I just kind of sent them around to my friends.
Okay, yeah. So it could be 100 compliments, but for different friends.
Yeah.
How did they react to that?
A lot of them, like, said some back, and they were really happy.
Since this is the 100th year, and obviously you've been thinking about that a lot, you've been participating in a lot of 100-year celebrations, and there are going to be more. Emma, what do you feel? How do you feel about being a part of this organization that has been around for 100 years?
It's just cool to see that Girl Scouts has been around that long and that we're part of it. And, like, hopefully it keeps going on for, like, 300 years.
How do you feel about it, Leah?
I think it's kind of like an honor that we've passed it on so long, 100 years, and that it just started from one girl and it just got bigger and bigger and bigger.
I want to talk about some of the things that you've done in the past in Girl Scouts. Emma, is there a favorite memory for you so far from your years of scouting?
I remember that after we sold cookies, we had a bunch of money. I mean, sold cookies. We had a bunch of money, and we'd always plan a big trip to go to. And I just remember when we were little, we went to this ice skating rink, and we all, like, had these cones that we had to use because we couldn't skate really well. I thought that was really fun.
Yeah, I remember that.
Are there any others that stand out for you, Leah? Favorite memories?
Well, actually, I think it was either 2 years or last year that we went to the Omaha Zoo, and that was a bunch of fun, and we got to stay in a hotel. And it was a bunch of fun because we don't usually go to trips with friends that often.
And you mentioned cookie sales earlier. You guys are in the middle of your cookie sales right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
How's it going so far?
Pretty good. We've sold a lot more. Well, we've already gotten a lot higher than we normally do.
Really? Why do you think that is?
Well, they switched to a direct sale format this year, so the girls walk around with the cookies.
All right, so you get immediate gratification.
Yeah.
For your money, you get the cookies right away. Leah, what kind of cookie have you sold the most of?
Probably Caramel Delights. Those are my favorite, and they're a lot of other people's favorite, too.
How about you, Emma?
Maybe peanut butter patties or thin mints.
And when do cookie sales end?
March 4th.
All right. So you still have a few more weeks to work on that, huh?
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being with me today.
You're welcome.
It was our pleasure.
Thanks.
Emma Hansen and Leah Doyle of Waukee. They're both cadets. And Carrie Hansen is the troop leader. She's also the service unit manager for Waukee. And we have a few minutes left, and we have a lot of people who want to get involved in our conversation. Still with us, Diane Nelson, CEO of Girl Scouts of Eastern Iowa and Western Illinois, Kristen Hunter, Vice President for Marketing with Girl Scouts of Greater Iowa, and Lynn Smith of the Herbert Hoover Presidential Library and Museum. And I want to get to the phones. Gina's on the line. Hello, Gina.
Hi.
Hi, what would you like to talk about?
Well, I happened to catch this phone call. I live in Colorado, but I'm driving through Iowa, and I grew up in Cedar Rapids. And my family looked great on the surface, but it was very abusive. And Girl Scouts really taught me how to be a parent and gave me an identity of my own. And I'd go off camping and have these great experiences. And I even went to England with the Girl Scouts when I was 13 after working with them for a long time. And so when I grew up and had kids of my own, I realized that that was really a source of strength for me, and I became a Girl Scout leader and did that with my girls. And they're both successful and in college now, and it really transformed my family. So I owe a lot to Girl Scouts.
Wow, it was a real refuge for you.
It was, and it really gave me a place where I could develop a different part of my personality and learn to trust myself. So it was very important.
Well, Gina, thank you so much for sharing your memories today, and drive safely on your way through. Kelly's on the line next from Des Moines. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was a Girl Scout. I grew up in Dubuque, Iowa. Didn't have the best experience. It kind of peered out when I was about in fourth grade, I think. But I do have a lot of memories of doing a chemistry day, going horseback riding. But something I've noticed as I've gotten older is that my brothers are Boy Scouts, and my father is an Eagle Scout. And something he always stressed to my brothers was making sure that they put that they were Eagle Scouts on their resumes, because that will definitely get noticed, and it actually has helped them get a couple of jobs. But I know that if I put Girl Scout on my resume, sometimes it gets, pretty glanced over. It's just kind of something I've noticed over the last few years, but it sounds from the guests that you have on today that that is definitely something that's changing.
Well, and
a lot of the...
Let me ask Diane about that, because I think I remember that from my youth, that there really seemed to be a disparity between Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. And Diane, how do you respond to that?
Well, and Kelly, you're right. The Girl Scout Gold Award is actually more hours and more. You have to put more into the Gold Award, which is the highest award you can earn in Girl Scouts, compared to an Eagle Scout Award. But it's very true. An Eagle Scout Award, people really recognize that. One of the challenges we had in Girl Scouts is the name of the Gold Award has changed throughout the years. It used to be the Golden Eaglet. It used to be the Curve Bar. So the name has kind of been lost throughout the year. But the Gold Award is a very, very prestigious award. and it has a lot of the same privileges as the Eagle Scout Award, especially when you go in and put it on your resume and they understand the work and the service hours and the commitment you had to make in order to get that gold award. But it's something we at the Girl Scouts need to do a better job of promoting that and supporting the girls who do achieve the gold award, because it is an unbelievable accomplishment for a young girl.
We have a number of other callers on the line I want to get to. Kelly, thanks a lot for your call. And let's go next to Mary on the line in Fairfield. Hello, Mary.
Oh, hello there. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm a retired registered nurse and a grandmother. I was a Weeblo Den mother for many years, and the value to the kids and experience in, you know, leading them was just a wonderful and very special. I do want to point out and caution to leaders and parents, any association with Planned Parenthood. I know one of the goals and benefits to the girls is to be healthy inside and out. But I would just urge, please go to their Planned Parenthood's Teen Wire website and please be fully aware of their policies, their practices, their programs, and I would caution you with all my heart against that.
Okay, Mary, thank you so much for bringing that up. And there have been pamphlets being circulated this year. There's a meme going around online that says, you deserve to know what Girl Scout Cookies fund. And one of the things that this pamphlet talks about is that supposedly a former Girl Scouts of America CEO Kathy Cloninger publicly admitted on NBC's Today Show in 2004 that Girl Scout troops and councils partner with Planned Parenthood across the country. And let me give Kristen, can you respond to that? Because this is something a lot of people have been hearing about.
Sure, absolutely. And we have received calls, and I'm sure Diane can echo this. When we have such a recognizable program going on, such as our cookie program, a lot of times individuals do try to leverage that spotlight by putting out some of these rumors. And I very clearly want to state that we do not, on a national or local level, have a partnership with Planned Parenthood. And what Mary may have been referring to is that sometimes, you know, troop leaders might decide to have an expert come in regarding certain topics of a sensitive nature. And that is up to the parents to give their consent to do that. So Girl Scouts, we do not put out any materials on the topic. Those issues are best handled with girls and their parents.
Okay, so there is not an organizational affiliation.
There is not. We do not give money, nor do we receive money from Planned Parenthood.
Well, we are out of time, but I want to end today with a note from Maggie. She says, I'm only 24 years old, but I loved my time as a Girl Scout when I was a little girl. I did it for about 5 years. I was the top seller of cookies in my troop because I wanted to get a free trip to Girl Scout camp in the summer, which I did reach. It taught me how to work hard, how to hone my entrepreneurial skills and my interpersonal skills as well. And thank you so much to everyone who called and shared memories today. Kristen Hunter is Vice President for Marketing with Girl Scouts of Greater Iowa. Thank you, Kristen.
Thank you so much for your time.
Diane Nelson is CEO of Girl Scouts of Eastern Iowa and Western Illinois. Thank you, Diane.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
And happy centennial to both of you. And also thank you so much, Lynn Smith of the Herbert Hoover Presidential Library and Museum. And that exhibit about 100 years of Girl Scouts will be on at the museum through March 25th.
Right, March 25th. And thank you. And all your listeners, have a nice day.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Lynn. Talk of Iowa was produced by Dennis Reese and Catherine Perkins. Our executive producer is Jeff Schmidt. Technical support comes from John Pemble in Des Moines today. I'm Charity Nebbe. We're going to talk about bicycling tomorrow. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News.